Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts. Now we'll stay.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, once again in the book of Acts, chapter 10. We're going to pick it up in verse number 44. We've been talking about Peter going to Cornelius' house, and this is the first time that the Gentiles, rather than the Jewish people, the first time the Gentiles receive the Spirit of Christ. And it's pretty awesome. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse number 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking. So He's a long-winded preacher. He's preaching the gospel. He's telling them the stories. But while he's speaking these words, it says the Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the message. Now, this is pretty exciting because Peter's not finished, but the Holy Spirit interrupts.
Yeah.
Interrupter.
Isn't that a great passage? It's just so exciting to know that, you know, God was so excited to
finally
become a part of the Gentiles. And, you know, he had promised that through the Old Testament, but he just couldn't wait for Peter to stop. He goes, I'm done. Peter's done. He's just repeating himself.
Yeah, you should have known that this is something I've wanted to do for a long time. Now I've got my chance.
Come on, just give him the simple message and let me get to work.
Boom. Yeah, I tell you, every preacher would love to see a presence of the Lord come down in the midst of your message where you can't speak. In the Old Testament, once in a while, you found that where the Spirit came down so powerfully, God filled the temple, and the people couldn't speak or do anything. And here, the Holy Spirit just comes and stops everything. And it says, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles.
Even on the Gentiles.
There's the astonishment. In other words, what happens, these circumcised believers, there were Jewish people who came with Peter, so he didn't go alone. Probably was afraid that maybe he'd get locked up or who knows what's going to happen with him. Yeah. I don't know if you traveled alone that much back then anyway. You
probably
traveled with a group. So they all of a sudden, they're astonished because they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, how do they know that they received the gift of the Holy Spirit? These are Jewish people.
Yeah.
They all of a sudden, something happens, and they recognize that what happened to them on the day of Pentecost is now happening among the Gentiles. That's astonishing to them because they never thought God was interested in the Gentiles. They thought that Jews were the whole thing.
Yeah, the Jewish people are the apple of God's eye.
Bingo.
You know, they're the beloved nation.
Yes.
And so many other adjectives to describe how God views the Jewish people and the relationship, the real intimate relationship that he has with them. And yet, when we think about it, Abram, who became Abraham.
Yeah, he was not Jewish.
Believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness all before he became circumcised. So I love how Paul talks about it in Romans, that before Abraham became Jewish and the father of the Jewish nation, he was a Gentile. So Jews and Gentiles are all the apple of God's eye.
It is. And here's how they knew that the Holy Spirit had been poured out in verse 46.
Right.
For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Now, we hear a lot of people. Previously, many, many, many groups used to speak against this speaking in tongues. Mm. We find more recently, even those that had previously spoke against it now accept it.
Yeah.
It has become, and around the world, a sign of someone being filled with the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people go to the scriptures, especially in James, where he says, if any man can control the tongue, he is perfect. He's a perfect.
Right.
So, completely filled means that even the most unruly member in your body is filled under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and is speaking in tongues of God, tongues of angels. And so that is where they consider that maybe God chose this. If he chose to change the tongue of everybody in Tower of Babel, if he decided to change everybody's tongue, well, why not bring unity and give everybody the same language, speaking in another tongue, and praising God, which is, there is a key note. They're not just speaking in tongues, but they're praising God.
There's a purpose behind it. There's definitely a meaning to it. You know, it is a wonderful language that God gives, that the Holy Spirit speaks through the human. It's a wonderful blend of our flesh and our spirit with the Holy Spirit. And words come out in just a supernatural way. But it's a glorious thing. And through it, we give praise to God.
It's praising to God. And obviously, the enemy has no idea what you're saying because you're speaking in a tongue that's foreign to even Satan. And so you're praising God with this tongue. And sometimes when you don't know how to pray, you use words that are moaning, groaning, uttering, crying out, and in other tongues. But the key is, like you mentioned, it's the purpose of it is to bring praise to God.
Yeah.
And that's just the key.
It's a wonderful, I used the word before, an intimacy that you can have with God because God, the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you, and he is speaking through you to God the Father, and there's a wonderful communion that happens at that moment.
And this isn't the only place in the Bible. There are three places in the book of Acts where it actually speaks about it, even when Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 said they all 120 spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. So it's not just found in this one place. It's throughout the Bible.
And here it has the same word in 44. The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message.
That's it. Same thing.
Yeah.
And then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Now, again, they were astonished that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit. Now, if they received the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues, they were assured of the fact that they were Christians. At this point, they had asked Christ to come into their life, and the Spirit comes upon them and verifies that he's there with this manifestations of tongues. And so not only are they amazed, but they recognize that this is the same thing that happened to them. So if that happened to them, what is to prevent us from baptizing them in water?
You know, there was a little bit of racism. We talked about it a few weeks ago. I wrote it down in the margin of my Bible. Peter was a little hesitant to go. You know, he would have been a little hesitant to go eat lunch with a Gentile.
With a Roman soldier.
You know, and God showed him that vision to be open to that. And then there was a knock at the door, and here comes the centurion servant in and everything. And so right here with this moment, with the Gentiles receiving the same baptism in the Holy Spirit, the walls of separation, racism, were broken down, and now the entire world is a part of the family of God. And so it doesn't matter what continent you live on, what nationality, race, through the person and presence of the Holy Spirit, we are one in Christ.
That's a very powerful statement, because I remember when the Holy Spirit first fell upon the Assemblies of God in Arkansas, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Right. They thought that the stained glass barrier was going to be broken by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and there would be a unifying effort among all churches, all nations, all colors, all races, like you mentioned, that it would happen. Now, this takes some time for that to happen, obviously, because you have to see something supernatural. And we're going to find later on that maybe some of the Jewish people didn't see that this is what was happening.
Right.
But because of this event, Peter's able to say no, and he's able to back the outreach to the Gentiles.
Amen.
So then Peter says, if we must baptize these people, we just must do it. So he says he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, this is rather unusual, because usually people get baptized when they get saved. They ask Christ to come in their life, and then they get the baptism of the Holy Spirit later.
Right.
This is kind of like they get baptized, they get saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, then baptized in water.
Yeah.
It's kind of a neat thing to happen when you see it happen.
It's so exciting. You know, there's three great moments in a person's life spiritually, you know, in my opinion. One is that salvation moment when they confess their sins and they recognize that Jesus Christ is their Savior and they're saved, they're born again. And then the other two are the baptism in the Holy Spirit and baptism in water. Those two baptisms, immersions, the immersion in the water just signifies to the world that you believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, and you want to walk a new life. And then the immersion, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is to empower you to live that life and for you to be a witness for him. So these things together, you know, it's so exciting to watch people come into a church and get saved and then get baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit, whichever, you know, order that it goes in, but you got to be saved first. That's kind of the principle there.
It's amazing that it happens here almost simultaneously.
Yeah.
Almost simultaneously.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, Peter's preaching and they just stop everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know that they get saved, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, they get baptized in water, and they're ready to go. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
Yeah.
So, hey.
They had to celebrate.
They celebrated. And that's pretty amazing, though, because if you get around Christians, once you find Christ and you actually make that commitment to the Lord, you'll find that the relationship that you have with God, it strengthens the relationships you have horizontally with people. And you'll find that people who have the same belief like to be with one another.
Right.
I mean, sometimes we spend too much time with each other and not enough time in the world.
Right.
But basically, we really have this strength of fellowship where if a brother has a need, you help them. If it's just an amazing thing that happens with this relationship between people when they have Christ. When they have a relationship with God, it helps the relationship with people. As a matter of fact, I honestly believe that a marriage can never reach its full potential, the full love, until each individual has a relationship with Christ. And that love that they have from Christ is it enables them to have the kind of love they need in a marriage. That's powerful
it.
Force.
Oh, yeah. It's such a true statement. It definitely enhances the family relationship, the family dynamic, the husband and wife dynamic. But we're going to find out, there's always a couple of people, you know, that, Peter, can you tell us what happened? What'd you do? Where did you go? Why did you do that? There's always somebody that's going to ask the why question.
They always ask the why. And, you know, honestly, Peter can only say it's because God led me.
That's it.
And that's a tough one, because when someone says God led me, you can't argue with them.
You can.
So you got to be careful using that phrase.
You do.
But the truth is, he still leads us.
Yeah.
And so the apostles and chapter number 11, and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God. So we find that this, what happened at Cornelius' house, spreads like wildfire.
Yeah.
It goes throughout. It doesn't say it just goes back to Jerusalem. It goes throughout all of Judea. Through Judea.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big area. It's not just, okay, it happened and they told a couple people back in Jerusalem. No, it spreads like fire.
Yeah. Good news travels fast.
It's amazing. it's the native drums, if you will.
That's it.
The message is out there. So when Peter went to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went to the house of the uncircumcised men and you ate with them?" Because remember now, they stayed a couple of days and they fellowshiped and they ate together.
Sure.
And of course, the Jewish person was not supposed to eat with the Gentiles because probably the food wasn't the same. It wasn't kosher. Besides that, they're unclean, and you don't want to be unclean because you're sanctified, set apart to God.
Right.
But here, now Peter says, well, these guys, they had the same experience we had with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But there are people that, like you mentioned, they criticize them.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing to me that— It's not too amazing, because in our humanity, we have our preconceived notions,
we have
our thoughts, we have our ideas, and when things don't go the way that we think they're supposed to go,
bingo,
we can get a little critical with stuff.
Not and a little, a lot critical.
And that's what happens here. Now, it wasn't a question. I mean, you know, it was like, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and you ate with him. I know. I heard about it.
Wow.
I heard about that.
Wow.
So we've got you right now. We're bringing you on the carpet. We're going to talk to you about this right here.
There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus.
Ouch,
there it is.
Now you've gone to meddling.
Yeah, I mean, it's the case. And they're condemning and criticizing them. And how quick we are to criticize. We see that even in our political system today, when they bring up criticism about alleged things that are happening and so forth. And, when I read the Bible, it says that you should never entertain an accusation against an elder without two or three witnesses.
Right.
And yet, here, everything is upside down because one person criticizes, people begin to take up sides. And that's what happened here. You talked about the cultural barriers and the ethnic barriers and all the barriers that were brought down at Cornelius's house. They're still alive. They're still awakened here in Jerusalem.
But Peter did a smart thing. He didn't go alone. He took other circumcised believers with him. And so there were other people
that's an excellent point.
Saw what happened, heard what happened, and saw that the Gentiles
had the witnesses, like Moses said, had to have the witnesses.
Yep. So I'm sure he took two or three people with him.
And Peter began in verse number 4 to explain everything to them precisely as it had happened. And I was in the city of Joppa praying in a trance, and I saw a vision, he tells them, and he saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down where I was. Now that's a pretty interesting vision already. So he's going to have help with that one.
Yeah.
Because, what do you see? Okay, that's a lot of pizza. Well, I mean, what are you going to say?
Yeah, right.
I looked into it and I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Now, certainly when he gave the story about the animals, they right away knew that they weren't kosher.
Right.
And then when God says, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat, a voice that was telling me. Now, what voice is that? They probably thought, well, that's probably the devil telling them that.
That's not the voice of God.
That's not God. God would never tell you to do that. I replied, surely not. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.
A few things have come out, but you know, nothing's gone in. I mean, Jesus had to rebuke him a few times for some of the stuff that came out.
It's not what goes into the man that defiles him, but what comes out of the man. The voice spoke from heaven now. Now he says it's not just a voice from heaven. A second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Mm. This happened three times. Wow.
Yeah.
And then it was all pulled up to heaven again. So he has a vision. He has a voice from the Lord telling him. And he's letting the people know that it wasn't just one witness. It wasn't just two witnesses. There's three witnesses. Yeah. And I had witnesses that came with me. And right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. Not one, not two, three, as a witness. And the Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me.
Oh, now he's got six brothers.
Wow.
I thought he took two to three witnesses.
He took six.
He doubled it. He wanted to make sure he was covered.
And we entered the man's house, and he told us how he had seen an angel appear to him in his house, saying, send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter, and he'll bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. That's big.
Yeah. It's phenomenal to me that he goes through the whole thing that happened. He did it fairly quickly, you know, and then he said, here's the proof. It's not coming from my lips. I'm telling you, there's six other guys that came with me, and they saw exactly what happened. Yeah,
it's pretty amazing. Yeah. As he began to speak, the Holy Spirit came down upon him and came upon us at the beginning, as he came upon us on the beginning, so a like experience.
Yep.
Then he remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift that he gave to us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that God could oppose? I could oppose God.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it, period. Bang.
You know what? All of our racism toward the Gentiles, it's
gone.
It just got blown up, fellas.
Gone.
New way to think.
You know, I don't know where you're at, but I'll tell you what. If you come to Bethany, you'll hear the word of God, and God will speak to your heart, and you can prepare yourself, because God has a word for you that will keep you on the straight and narrow.
Amen.
This is Pastor Adam and Pastor Reed. I hope that the Spirit of God enters and speaks to you. God bless.